This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 591. Great to have your company again. Thank you so much for joining me. We really appreciate it. My name is Stephen Fenech. I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, Samsung has just unveiled its new range of Galaxy A series smartphones. We sit down with the Epson Global President and discover his vision for the future. And Acer has moved into the wellness space with a range of appliances. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to take a look at the new Hubble entertainment platform. We have got it, finally been using it. We take a first look at the new Apple MacBook Air with M3, and Synology has released the B Station, that's a personal cloud storage system, and we'll answer all of your questions in the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, the company that keeps you connected, and Norton, the company that keeps you protected. Well, hot off the presses, the embargo has just lifted on this announcement from Samsung, and that is the release of its new Galaxy A series of smartphones, the A55 5G and the A35 5G. Now, these are the more affordable models in the Samsung lineup. Last month, we, of course, saw the Galaxy S series, which introduced Galaxy AI. The A series doesn't have that same level of AI, but it does have, it does inherit a lot of innovation from the S series, including a really slick design, an improved camera, and more robust security than ever before. Now, these new models will go on sale on March 25, and the A55 5G will be priced at $699. And the A35 5G will be $549. Both devices have a 6.6-inch Full HD Plus Super AMOLED display with up to 120 hertz refresh rate. And also they include Vision Booster. This ensures the display is easy to read even in bright sunlight. That is a feature that's inherited from the S series as well. Now, on the camera side, you're getting some solid improvements here as well, including AI image signal processing on the A55. So this means amazing results in low light. So again, a new feature never seen before on a Galaxy A series product. It also has night portrait mode and 12-bit HDR video to make sure whether it's an image or a video, it looks incredible in your frame. The cameras on board offer optical image stabilization and video digital image stabilization. So this makes sure your videos and your images are sharp and crisp and in focus, and that's what you want. Now, in terms of the specs of each camera, the A55 has a 12-megapixel ultra-wide, a 50-megapixel main camera, 5-megapixel macro camera, and a 32-megapixel front-facing camera. Now, the A35 has an 8-megapixel ultra-wide, 50-megapixel main, 5-megapixel macro, and a 13-megapixel front camera. They both come with 128 gig of storage. The A55 5G has 8 gig of RAM, and the A35 has 6 gig of RAM as well. They're both running Android 14. And the cameras offer some pretty solid improvement right there. But the big news too is all about security. Now, previously, the Galaxy Knox, a Samsung Knox, the Knox Vault to be precise, that was something we only saw on the flagship devices. And it's really good to see that, again, another first for the Galaxy A series is the inclusion of Samsung Knox Vault. So this is a security for both hardware and software and can protect your private data, of course, as well as other things encrypted on your device, including PIN codes, passwords, patterns. So what it means basically is that Only the owner who has the correct lock screen credentials can access what's on board that device. Even if it's lost or stolen, it's a brick unless you know the credentials to get into the device. Another new security measure is a feature called Auto Blocker. Now, what this is, when it's switched on, that is, you can activate that yourself. What it does, it helps prevent app installations from unauthorized sources. You don't want to be getting any malware on your phone. It also provides app security checks for this for that potential malware that I was talking about. So again, they've got your back right there. Now, the new devices go on sale on March 25. Those prices again, the A55 5G, $699. The A35 5G, $549. Now, the A55, two colors. I love the names. Awesome Navy and Awesome Lilac. The A35 also comes in Awesome Navy, but Awesome Ice Blue as well. So anyone who buys the A55 from the Samsung online store before April 15, you get a bonus Galaxy Buds FE for your trouble. And if you buy the A35 5G before April 15, you'll get $100 off your purchase from the Samsung online store. So this news has just dropped. It is the new Samsung Galaxy A series. We normally expect the A series products to be announced shortly after the S series. Of course, the S series is the flagship. But these devices, I reckon these demonstrate, and I've often recommended the A series to many of my readers and listeners, that this is a more than capable device. So it just proves you don't have to spend thousands of dollars. Sure, if you're a top end, you're a high level user, you're a sophisticated user, then of course go nuts, spend your money on these highly technical products. There's like the Galaxy S series has the best cameras you can get on a phone, some amazing AI technology as well. If you want that, then you've got to pay for that. But in this instance, if you are after just a really good all-round device with a good camera, great screen, really nice design and an affordable price, then the A series ticks all those boxes for you. If you want to see, take a closer look at the A series, the A55 5G and the A35 5G, you can check that out at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Now, we had the pleasure of sitting down with the Epson Global President, Yasunori Ogawa, last week in Sydney. He was in Australia to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Epson in Australia. Quite an achievement. We spoke about a few things from printing to projectors and various other commitments and technologies moving forward, including augmented reality. So these are all areas that Epson has done some work in and is continue to do some work in. Mr. Ogawa joined the Seiko Epson Corporation back in 1988, and he's risen through the ranks and worked in various sections and divisions, including the projector division, fax machines. One of his first jobs was designing image sensors for fax machines. He then moved into the visual products area and then was also responsible for Epson's research and development and improving their manufacturing technologies. At one point, back in 2019, he was also in charge of Epson's wearables and also looked after the industrial solutions business as well. He is now the global president. But apart from that, we sort of had a look at the other things that Mr. Ogawa enjoys, and that includes skiing. He's actually quite a talented skier. He's an avid soccer fan as well, and I did see video of that he recorded himself of him kicking the ball from one foot to the other. His record is 175 kicks. So that's pretty skillful. He's also an accomplished ukulele player. So it's quite a colourful character, Mr. Ogawa. Apart from being the global president of this major company, he's also a pretty cool guy outside the office as well. We sat down in a little fireside chat. So there was myself and a few other journalists in the room, and we discussed a few things, threw a few questions at him, and had some really interesting responses. The first one, when asked what innovation in the future excites him most, one thing, the answer was surprising. The printhead. Now, you've got to remember, Epson's a massive printer company, right? And so they've developed print head technology. So they've gone from having the ink cartridge to now the eco tank. So the tank printers and the print head can deliver more than just ink. There's even talk of them even using it in the biotech space. So imagine an ink head, instead of in place of ink, you can fire human cells or biotech chemicals. So it has evolved in that way. He's also quite proud of the fact that they also have some pretty impressive paper recycling technology, which is a machine, a self-contained machine called the Paper Lab. Now, this is a technology that can turn paper into packaging. Like, instead of polystyrene, it can create a soft sponge-like substance to replace polystyrene. And also, if you want to, produce harder material that can be turned into park benches and chairs and various things like that. Now, printing is a major part of the Epson business. And when asked whether paper will be around and what other things they're looking at, he said, look, the bulk of printing at the moment is on paper. And he also mentioned the fact that the majority of office printing is laser printing, which they're hoping to migrate to inkjet technology because it is much kinder to the environment, uses much less electricity, doesn't generate any heat as well. But the other thing with printing, he did mention the move into fabric printing. And so imagine an inkjet printer that could print wallpaper or other kinds of interior decorations. He says they see a lot of potential in that non-paper printing sector and are doing a bit of research and seeing what's what with that in the near future. Now, in terms of projectors, the projector is one thing that Epson prides itself on. They've got some really nice projectors, including high-end home theater projectors, which focus on lasers. Lasers are more energy efficient, so they are taking over from the lamp. So yeah, their range of projectors are quite impressive. When asked, this was funny. He was asked, "Is Epson working on a holographic printer?" He had a one-word answer. No, they're not. We're not working on a holographic printer. So that was immediately put out of our minds. But when we moved on to, when asked about Australia, how does Australia compare to the rest of the world? What makes it unique globally? Now, the Australian market, he said, has a lot of similarities with some other Western markets. But what Australia tends to do, it adopts trends quicker. I think that we're early adopters. We're a small market. In terms of printing, Australia has a higher standard for print quality. We also tend to move towards more higher-end home theater products, including Epson's top-line home theater projectors. So we do value the quality of our entertainment as well. I asked the question myself too about the augmented reality space. Now, if you remember back in the day, Epson did have an augmented reality product. It's called the Maverio. And actually, he did say they still sell them, but they are working on optical engines for other companies. So they are sort of doing a bit of OEM work for other businesses. But he still sees these products as being a mainstream product. The big challenge, though, is to make them smaller and lighter. And that's what they're focusing their research and development on right now. That's just part of the conversation we had with Mr. Yasunori Ogawa from Epson, the global president who was in Sydney last week. I've got a full Q&A on Tech Guide. If you want to read every response from our little fireside chat, you can see that at techguide.com.au. Now, you've heard of Acer. They're a company best known for laptops, but it has recently just expanded into the lifestyle home appliance space with a new range called Acer Pure. Now, this range includes an air purifier or a couple of air purifiers, an air circulator, and a vacuum cleaner. And they're also looking, would you believe, to enter the beauty and cooking space later in the year. So keep an eye out for that. We definitely will be. Now, Australians are very much wellness orientated, and when it comes to tech, we do adopt these sort of we are aware of the benefits of having these sorts of products, and Acer has jumped all over them with this new Acer Pure range. Now, there's been a bit of research, of course, that went behind before they did produce these products, and the research says to them that our health and wellness, especially in our homes, is a very important factor, especially for families with children. Children often have sensitivities. A lot of us have pets as well, and that can affect the air quality in your home. So this is sort of looking at why they decided to move into this line. So they're trying to solve these human problems and integrate these intelligent devices into customers' lives to make them healthier. Healthier home means a healthier life. Now, in Australia, ACER's research showed that hay fever affects 1 in 5 people, while 1 in 9 adults and 1 in 5 children suffer from asthma. So it really does pay to have a nice, clean environment inside your home. A lot of people are surprised about the air quality and the poor air quality we have in our homes because it's enclosed. It can't circulate with the outside world. So a lot of people are surprised to learn that the inside air quality can often be worse than the outside air quality because there's other factors. There's pets, there's cooking, there's vapor coming from our furniture, all this other stuff happening in our home. And if you do have that sort of sensitivity, then it is going to be exposed if you don't have an air purifier or an air circulator in your home. Nearly half of Australian households, I mentioned pets, 48% have a dog. And this can also affect the air quality in our homes as well. Now, indoor air quality is something that we're all starting to take notice of, and we are purchasing air purification products to avoid any of these issues that could trigger sensitivities. I'm sure if you've got a child that may have asthma or hay fever, then it isn't hard to trigger those sensitivities, and then you've got a sleepless night, the whole family's up, it can be quite disruptive to the entire family. Now, the range that Acer has introduced includes the Acer Pure, the Acer Pure Cool 2-in-1 UVC air circulator and purifier. So this is a purifier, also a fan perched on top, $599. So it blends air purification and air circulation in your home, can eliminate 99.9% of bacteria, allergens, airborne pollutants and particles. And so it does also circulate the air, so optimizes air distribution and offers maximum air quality for maximum comfort in your home. Now, the Acer Pure Pro UVC air purifier is just a dedicated air purifier. This is $1,599, quite a nice looking product as well, really nicely designed. It's a 4-in-1, has a 4-in-1 HEPA filter and has advanced UVC purifying technology. It's the most efficient, Acer's most efficient and reliable purifier for larger spaces, so the home, even office environments as well. It also has smart CO2 detection systems to help you monitor air pollution in the area, as well as providing safe and cleaner indoor air for you as well. Now, there is a more affordable version, the Acer Pure Pro Vero Eco Air Purifier. This is $369. It's actually made of post-consumer recycled, that's PCR materials, and the whole chassis is made with 35% PCR and helps decrease 20% CO2 emissions during its production as well compared to using virgin plastic. So they've definitely got the sustainability and the environment in mind when making these products. Now, the green mode can also reduce power consumption, and it can intelligently detect air quality and switch to the correct mode depending on how dirty the air is. If it does detect something, the air quality isn't where it should be, it can then up the game and get you to the right spot. So there are 3 lights that it'll indicate: green for good air quality, yellow for moderate, red for poor as well. Now, they've also got the Acer Pure Cozy Pedestal Air Circulator Fan. $289. It can project air up to 25 meters away. So you've got a decent open plan house. This can move the air around a fair bit and also give you and improve that air quality at the same time. It's got 16 touch activated speed settings and a 90 degree up and down, 90 degree left and right oscillating direction as well. So it really gets into every corner of the room. And lastly, the Acer Pure Clean Light Cordless Vacuum, $199. This is a really light cleaning product, so it allows you to take it anywhere, to clean anywhere, under couches, up above the picture frames, really versatile, comes with a range of brushes as well, weighs just 550 grams, so it's not really much effort, and has got a decent suction pressure as well. So that's the Acer Pure lineup. You can see them all, if you like, at Tech Guide. I've put pictures and pricing and everything we mentioned there. You can check out all for yourself at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly supported by Norton. They're the company that can keep you and your family safe online. It's a new year and our digital generation continues to see a rise in cybercrime and data breaches. Don't leave your devices without protection or your personal information open to exposure. It's time to have a plan to keep your devices and personal information protected. Save your time and money should the unthinkable happen and your devices are at risk to cyber threats like malware, ransomware, or viruses, or your personal information being exposed to cyber criminals looking to trade your details on the dark web. Introducing Norton 360 Platinum. With device security, a VPN for online privacy, parental controls and identity protection with dedicated restoration support and dark web monitoring, you have a comprehensive plan in place to help ensure your information stays in private. It's peace of mind for your devices and your identity. With Norton 360 Platinum, if you become a victim of identity theft, you'll have access to their dedicated identity restoration specialists to help you address your identity theft claim and help you resolve it. Norton 360 Platinum is available now at Harvey Norman, JB Hi-Fi, or online at au.norton.com.
And now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
Alrighty, our first review today is all about Hubble. Now, we've been talking about Hubble for quite a while now, and we finally got it in our hands. I am talking about the Hubble box, so the small product. Hubble Glass I'm going to review separately because it's. I think it's more about the TV as much as it is about the experience and the interface. So I'm going to leave that to a separate review. But the Hubble box, it's tiny. It's about the size of a CD case, a little CD, and it is not much thicker either. It is a really tiny product. It has an antenna connection, Ethernet port, HDMI port, and power as well, of course. Comes also with a remote control. Now, it's $99. The Hubble Glass pricing, 55 inches, $15.95, 65 inch, $16.95. But the as I said, I'm focusing on the Hubble itself. So the small box, so if you've already got a smart TV and you want to get Hubble, this is the product you would buy. Now, setup's pretty easy. You just got to connect it to power, connect it to your Wi-Fi, connect to your TV with a HDMI cable. If there's a modem nearby, maybe, or a mesh satellite, you can actually plug an Ethernet port into the back as well. So either way, it needs to be connected to the internet. And then the setup process actually takes a fair while because first time use, you got to either sign up to these new apps or sign in to these new apps. So if you're already a binge customer, Netflix, Disney Plus, Apple TV, Prime Video like I am, then you've got to either migrate your app to the service or just sign in with your credentials. So that took a bit of time. Same deal with all the free-to-air apps as well. So it was all about scanning QR codes and look, pretty similar to how you would set up a smart TV as soon as you got it out of the box. It's that short-term pain, but hopefully long-term enjoyment. But once we were done there, we were good to go. Now, one feature of Hubble is stack and save. So we sort of, in our experience here, we were looking at what we can stack and save. So the five apps that are eligible at the moment for this service There's only five, and four of them are Foxtel apps. So we're talking KO Sports, Binge, Lifestyle, and Flash, and then there's Netflix. So if you've got all five of those, and you put it, then redirect your billing to Hubble, you are going to get a $15 credit. So it'll save you $15 off the total of all those five apps. Now, if you've only got three, you're going to save $5. If you've got four subscriptions, you're going to have $10 credit, and so on. Now, the issue with some is how clear it is to migrate your billing to Hubble. Now, we've heard some readers have got in touch and said that they were told that if they're migrating Netflix and Disney Plus to Hubble billing, that they were told to wait for an email confirmation to confirm that it had been migrated. They said they had not heard, had not received that email. So at this point, they're in a bit of limbo thinking, are they going to get billed twice now for that service? So look, there's some teething issues here that they need to be sorted. One other issue too, if your Netflix account is supporting people outside of your household. Remember they brought in that silly rule where if you're not in your household, you can actually pay a certain amount, like I think it's about $8 a month, to keep those people on your account. So if there are dependents on your Netflix account and you want to migrate your billing to Hubble, then you're going to ditch all those people who you've been supporting. It won't support accounts which support people outside your household. So you either stick to what you've got and support your friends or family or relatives, and you can migrate and ditch them. It's up to you if you want to do that. So that's a little wrinkle there if you're a Netflix user. So look. If you want to subscribe, if you're already subscribing to all these services, then it's a good idea to get that to save $15 a month. That adds up. And for those apps not available, or let's be clear, not every app. There's only five apps that you can stack and save. All the others are not there yet. Some won't be there at all. Other services aren't on the platform yet. Paramount Plus is yet to launch. Stan yet to launch. So those aren't included either. There are some little caveats there that we are still waiting to see which you can migrate and which you can't. I understand Disney Plus will be the next app to be included in the stack and save, but the other apps are likely to not want to be included in that combined billing. That's their prerogative, I guess. So signing into apps we've discussed, and stacking and save we've discussed. So once all that's done, and as I said, there is a bit of work to do here. You need to work out what's best for you. So basically, I've been asked this so many times, if I'm a Foxtel customer, is this better? Well, define better. It's better in some ways and worse in others. So during this review, you're going to hear the differences, but I think bottom line, if you're a Foxtel customer and you're happy with the service and the price, I would stay put. I would not go to Hubble, because there are things that I'll discuss later that you can't get on Hubble that you can get on Foxtel. So let's talk about that in a moment. Now let's talk about though the actual interface. So when it's all set up, you see this, it's OS, and look, people will be familiar with this layout, with their smart TV, for example. So it's not uncommon to see you scrolling through your smart TV's homepage and you're seeing what's on Netflix, Prime, Disney Plus. But what Hubble does, it takes it way further and way deeper than those other TV homepages. With Hubble, the goal is to show you, to bring the content to the surface, for you to see it just by scrolling, rather than you have to dive in and out of various apps. Now, the funny thing is, even if you're not subscribed to certain apps, so say you don't have Apple TV, for example, it's still going to show you Apple TV content as an option. And if you press play, it'll say, you don't appear to have an account here. You need to sign up or sign in. So it doesn't discriminate. Even if you don't have these services, it's going to tempt you to join those services by showing all the cool content those services have, which some smart TVs, most smart TVs don't do that. They only show you what you've subscribed to rather than tempting you with content that you currently can't have unless you sign up to that new service. So this is, I think this is Hubble's way of upselling you to perhaps a service that they're going to benefit from with the stack and save, or they just want you to have experience a wider range of content. Now, I did say that this does go a lot deeper than your TV operating system does. This really shows you what's on now, what's on next. It allows you to shortcut into movies, TV shows, news and sport, even drill down even further. So if you say you're in the mood for an action movie, you click movie, and then there's all the genres you can choose from as well. Really gives you a great selection of what's there. Also gives you a good selection of the trending programs and those shows that people discuss around the water cooler. If you follow Hubble's recommendations, you won't be left out of that conversation. It does a really good job in putting the best content forward, so you spend less time scrolling, more time watching. The other difference, I think, well, I'll talk about one of the differences with Foxtel. Say an IQ5, an IQ4 customer, the big attraction for those customers is recording. You can't record on Hubble, but what you can do, you can place you can create a watch list. So you're able to put programs on a watch list. So basically when you refer to the watch list, you click on the show that you want to watch, it'll go and find the stream and you can watch it on demand, which is, it's kind of like recording. Rather than actually playing the file, it's going to stream the file from where it happens to be. And if it's a movie, for example, say you've got Star Wars, if it for some reason moves from Disney Plus to another streaming service, it'll follow it to that other streaming service. So if it moves to Prime, never will, but if it moves to Prime, it'll say to you, you want to watch that movie, it's now on Prime. So here we go. So that's a pretty decent layer of intelligence right there. Now, well, let's talk about the channels. So Foxtel customers, they know the deal. You can scroll up and down the channels. If you subscribe to Binge, Lifestyle, Flash, and KO Sports, you do get all those channels. So you can basically replicate Foxtel and scroll up and down all the channels. The channels even have the same number. So A&E, a favorite program, favorite channel of mine, has Porn Stars and Storage Wars and all these cool shows. That is on channel 131 on my IQ5. It's also channel 131 on Hubble. So that gives you a bit of familiarity right there. Now, with the channels, if you come up to a program and it's half over, you can choose to watch it from the start. You can watch it live or watch it as it is, or you can choose to stream it right from the very beginning, which is pretty cool. Now, let's talk about free-to-air and catch-up apps. And catch-up apps, it's part of the sign-in process, is you signing into these services. And what Hubble does, it strips out all the IP channels. So channel 91, 92, all these channels are then brought into the TV guide from the IP stream. So rather than you having to go into the app and go to live TV, it does show you that in the TV guide. Now, if you've got an antenna, which is, again, a lot of people have an antenna and they can just simply tune in the channels, and you can choose in the settings whether you want to see terrestrial channels from the antenna or IP channels from the free-to-air apps as part of the TV guide. So it does give you that option. As you're scrolling through, you'll see 9 Life, 9 Gem, 10 Bowl, 10 Peach. You see all the channels, whether they're from the IP, from the apps, or from the antenna, if you've got one, that's up to you. If you don't have an antenna, this is an amazing solution, because previously you had to go to the individual apps to watch live TV. Now just go to the TV guide and boom, you're watching live TV through those apps. I have mentioned before the other issues with regional problems and sporting blackouts on IP streams where some stations don't have the digital rights to certain sports and certain events. That's an issue. In many cases, you're getting the state feed. So if, say, you live in Newcastle, you're here in New South Wales, you're going to get the New South Wales feed on Channel 9, not necessarily the Newcastle local feed if you had an antenna. So there's those little differences to watch as well. Now, watching free-to-air, I mentioned that you do get a chance to choose whether you want to watch the IP streams or the antenna. If you have the antenna, you have no issues, no region issues. Everything is business as usual. All right. So far, so good, yeah? Now, what it doesn't have, Hubble, I think, is missing. It's putting itself out there as this attractive entertainment platform, but there are limitations. Even if you subscribe to nearly all the apps, there's no dedicated movie or TV store. So if you want to watch Oppenheimer or Barbie or something that's just dropped digitally, there's no way for you to watch that on Hubble. Now, I asked Hubble this question, and their response was that customers are not currently able to rent or buy content directly via Hubble, but it is working on integrating the feature and sharing. They will share more details soon. You can continue to rent and buy via apps. Now, they said that Apple TV allows you to do that. I checked it. I couldn't find a way to rent or buy a movie outside of the normal Apple TV Plus content that comes with the streams. That comes with your subscription. Now, I did find on Prime Video the ability to go into its movie store to rent and buy. That's the only place I found on Hubble that you can rent or buy movies is through Prime Video. So, but if you're not a subscriber of that service, then you're stuck. You can't rent movies like you can on Foxtel, like you can on Fetch. Fetch movie stores are one of my favorite things. I'm renting movies, buying movies that have just been released. You can't do that on Hubble unless you're a Prime Video customer, and it all comes down to the rights as well. Maybe Prime doesn't have the rights to those movies as do some of the other services. Binge might not have the rights to that movie for months, or the ability to play to show it to you unless a certain period of time has passed. Like the latest movies, Oppenheimer, Barbie, Equalizer 3, you're not going to see them on Binge perhaps for up to 2 to 3 months after they're released digitally. So that's an issue here. If you're a big movie fan and you love renting movies like you can on Foxtel, on Fetch, on Apple TV, if you've got an Apple TV connected to your television, that allows you to rent whatever you want and buy whatever you want. Hubble, it doesn't do that. Now, let's talk about the remote. And the remote's a decent size. I like that because you're less likely to lose it down the couch or misplace it. It does have some shortcuts to KO, Binge, and Netflix. But guess what? Doesn't have, I reckon, the most important shortcut, and that is a shortcut to the TV guide. There's no TV guide button on the remote control. To get to the TV guide, you either got to scroll down 5 clicks. I counted them. Press the TV guide icon, or alternatively, say TV guide when you press and hold the microphone button, and that then brings up the TV guide. Not bad. The microphone actually is pretty high quality and very accurate. We tested it a few ways. One of the questions I asked was, show me movie starring Bruce Willis, and boom, within a few seconds, it did show me that as well. I also asked, when's the next South Sydney Rabbitohs game? And it told me it is this Thursday, March 14, at Suncorp Stadium against the Brisbane Broncos, and I will be there. I'm heading up to Brisbane this week. But it can then allow you then to set a reminder, allow you to put that in your watch list as well. Now let's talk performance. Performance-wise, Hubble is pretty responsive, but there were times where we were left waiting. There's a way you can see what Hubble does is presents all the content, movies, TV shows, no matter what service they're from. And you can just glance at them and boom, if you want to watch a movie on Disney Plus, you're going directly to that movie rather than going into the app, then finding the movie. You're directly into it. But there is a way for you to go directly into the apps. I tried to go into Apple TV Plus and from the homepage, it took more than 20 seconds to open, which is an eternity when you're wanting to watch something. Other apps also took a bit of time to load. Scrolling up and down channels was a bit slow as well. If you've got an IQ, normally takes like 1 or 2 seconds to switch between channels and see what you want to see. In the Hubble case, it was about 4 to 5, even 6 seconds when you're flicking up through the channels. Now, the reason, like smart TVs, recent smart TVs are pretty powerful. They've got these great processors that are processing not only image and video processing, but they're also processing all that other stuff in the background. So they're fast. They've got the latest processors. Hubble's processor, not up to par with the latest smart TV. So it's a little bit slower, not a deal breaker, but I think anything that can slow down the customer getting to what they want to see, I think is something that needs to be addressed. Now, Well, here's my theory about Hubble. I reckon it's not finished. They did that. I think that it's early days. It's going to improve. Personally, I think they rushed this out to make sure it was ready for the NRL and the AFL seasons, big times for if you're a KO Sports customer, a Foxtel customer. I think they really pushed it to get it ready by now. It's still not complete. I reckon there's things missing that need to be improved. The speed of it needs to be improved. These little one percenters that are around the system need to improve. Overall, still very impressive. I'm very impressed by it, but it's still not quite to the point where it's perfect. It's far from perfect. It's got a lot of improving to do. But as I said, it's early days. It is going to improve over time. But I think first impression, it does really deliver bringing the best content to the surface. So you spend more time watching, less time scrolling. That's the whole object of Hubble. If you want to read our complete review, you can check it out at techguide.com.au. Well, Apple have just unveiled the new MacBook Air with M3. So this is a improvement over the M2, of course, the 13-inch and 15-inch. These two new computers are among the most popular laptops in the world. They're powered by M3 now, so up to 60% faster than the M1, up to 13 times faster than the fastest Intel-based MacBook Air. So if you're coming into the MacBook Air, you probably, if you've got an M2, you're not going to come to M3. If you're coming from M1, it's a decent improvement. And if you've, of course, you've got an older device coming from an Intel-based MacBook Air, then you are going to see some massive improvements. Design-wise, looks exactly the same. It's still that very thin and light design and available in the same range of colours as well. Screen sizes are actually 13.6 and 15.3 to be exact as well, the 13-inch and 15-inch MacBook Airs. They do have that liquid retina display. What they can do now is actually power two 4K screens, so it's 4K monitors, with the lid closed. So they've got the clamshell mode that can close the lid, power two displays. Previously, I think you had to have the lid open, and that was one of your displays. Now you can have the lid closed and have two full-blown displays as well, 4K and above, which is that's an improvement. I understand the MacBook Pro with M3 doesn't even have that feature, and it is going to be upgraded to include that as well. So the latest MacBook Pros will also be able to do that as well. Now, so this is the next step in the transition to Apple Silicon across all their devices, and we are seeing a lot more efficiency, not only in terms of performance, but also power efficiency, 18 hours of battery life. We did see some examples of the use of a MacBook Air. There was there was a person at their briefing talking about them designing their basically turning classic cars into EVs, and a lot of the work is done in the room, in the garage, in the factory, and so that the laptop really has to be with them, has to be able to do the 3D design and all that hard and top level processing while still being lightweight and having a battery that lasts all day long. We also talked to an artist and how she uses it in her workflow and just how fast and reliable they are as well. So if you're a video editor, you're a photographer editing your images in the field, there's so many improvements with this new device. It does start at $1,799 for the 13-inch, $2,199 for the 15-inch. And the M2 13-inch is still on sale, by the way, and that's been dropped in price to $1,599. So, and that is still quite a capable computer. The MacBook Airs are among the most capable laptops in the world in terms of pound for pound size, thickness, and processor strength. They literally punch above their weight because they do look light, they do look thin, but don't let that fool you into thinking they're not quite powerful. They very much are. Check out our story if you want to take a closer look. techguide.com.au. Synology is a company we know. They do make a lot of NAS drives, network attached storage drives, and they've just released a new consumer-friendly product called the Bee Station, and bee as in a bee that makes honey, Bee Station. Now, this is a personal cloud storage and backup system. So it's got a 4 terabyte hard drive built in. You can scan a QR code and have this thing set up in minutes. So you're able to have your own personal cloud storage for you and your family, 4 terabytes of space, plenty of room for documents, personal files, photos, videos. Setup is really quick. And what then you can use is the companion web, desktop, and mobile application. So you can connect to the device either in your local, on your local network or remotely to manage and access files from anywhere. And if you've got a family, it's a great way for you to create storage spaces for each member of the family so they can back up photos from their phone, important files and documents, and then be able to access them from outside your home. You can create automatic backups of your photos and videos from your smartphone, from the iPhone or an Android device, so you can protect your most important memories, and they exist on your smartphone. So imagine having that privacy and security, no need to pay a monthly fee or to increase your data limit on these services. You can have your very own storage system. It's got an AI-powered photo organizer as well. You can manage your large photo libraries, make them easy to find, share images, and it really does make life easier. So it does include the ability to back up files from Google Drive, Microsoft OneDrive, Dropbox, as well as other connected USB drives to make sure you have a copy of your most important data at your fingertips. The Synology Bee Station, the model number is the BST154T. It's the tower, single bay NAS, 4 terabyte capacity, available now, priced at $499. If you want to take a closer look, check it out at techguide.com.au.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly supported by Netgear. They're Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. If your home demands superior Wi-Fi, treat it with a masterpiece in connectivity. Bring your Wi-Fi up to speed with Orbi Wi-Fi 6E from Netgear. Orbi Wi-Fi 6E is the first and only Wi-Fi 6 quad band whole home mesh system, opening an exclusive all-new 6 gigahertz superhighway that's fine-tuned to deliver unprecedented Wi-Fi speeds and smoother streaming simultaneously across the smart homes of today and tomorrow. It's Wi-Fi perfectly engineered. Find out more at netgear.com.au/best Wi-Fi.
All your tech questions answered. This is the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Yeah, the Tech Guide Help Desk is brought to you by Belkin. Belkin are our great friends who create all kinds of products, accessories, cases, cables, USB hubs. You name it, they've got it, belkin.com.au. It's actually belkin.com/au. Now, I did mention Hubble earlier, and there is one little thing that people should know. There is a misconception among some customers, some viewers, who think that by being a Foxtel customer, they're automatically a Hubble customer. I heard from a gentleman who's got the Foxtel premium package. He assumed that he could buy the Hubble box, sign into his account, and have the same service on his TV. I was very sorry to inform him that Hubble and Foxtel have nothing to do with each other. They are two separate entities. Yes, they've got the same kind of grandparents, if you like, but if you're a Foxtel customer, you're a Foxtel customer. You need to have Binge, KO, Lifestyle, and Flash to match on Hubble what you do on Foxtel. So trap for young players or old players, if you've been a Foxtel customer for a long time, just because you're a Foxtel customer doesn't automatically make you a Hubble customer. If you want to switch to Hubble, you've got to quit Foxtel and then sign up as a Hubble customer. And that is our show for this week. Thank you so much for showing up and sticking around till the end. If you need to find out about anything that we've spoken about on the show, you can, of course, read it in depth at techguide.com.au. And if you want to get in touch, please hit us up at email info@techguide.com.au, or similarly, click the Ask Stephen icon on the right-hand side of the site, and that will generate an email straight into my inbox. We want to give a special thanks to our great sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs, and also Norton, the company that can keep you and your family safe online. Thank you once again for listening. We'll be back with another show next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.